Yeah, I don't actually date a whole lot lately. Why not? Well, when I'm with a boy I like, it's hard for me to say anything cool or witty or at all. I can usually make a few vowel sounds and then I have to go away.
It's not that bad.
No, it is. I think boys are more interested in a girl who can talk.
You want to go back into the dating world, or you're already in it, but you don't think your methods are working for you. You may be sitting at home, sitting on the couch, and thinking, why doesn't someone call me? Why is it another Friday night or another Saturday night? My buddies have dates, and I'm sitting home again watching TV and just feeling burnt out. How do you go about meeting someone? Where do you meet them? And you may have heard about cyber dating or other things, but we have an expert with us today. His name is Dr. Don Kiefer. And he's a clinical psychologist, and he is a department chair at the New England Institute of Technology and in the psychiatry department at Rhode Island Hospital. He has extensive experience as a corporate psychologist. He's had his own matchmaking service. He's one of those people that have a lot of things you can say about him. And he's also given workshops for professionals and for just people who want to know about it, becoming your own dating coach, how to learn the skills required to go out in the dating world armed instead of disarmed. Welcome to the show, Dr. Don Kiefer.
Thank you.
So good to have you on. Now, when I think back to my own dating years, which is probably about 35, 45 years ago. No, it wouldn't be 35 years ago. It'd put me quite young, but decades ago. I dated a lot, and we didn't have cyber dating back then. You relied on friends of friends and meeting people and parties and just you'd join clubs at school, a French club, and you'd meet someone and go out, or you'd go to a football game. Now it's a whole different world out there for dating. If somebody's newly divorced or if somebody's just a teenager, I get emails from teenagers saying, how do I find a partner? What advice would you give in terms of how and where to meet people?
You know, Ellen, whenever I give a workshop, I always like to start them off with an activity where I go around the room and I ask people, I go on the board, I say to them, tell me the mechanism with which, or the circumstances under which you met your either your current or your most recent significant relationship. And it is so fascinating because inevitably I get such a wide range of responses, and it is such a powerful demonstration of the fact that people forget that there are so many different ways to
meet
people.
Could you give me a little bit of a range of some of the types of a range of the answers that you get?
I mean, it's everything from, you know, an office party, from my neighbor in my apartment complex, my college roommate introduced me to somebody, to going to a singles club. I mean, it just goes on. Somebody recently, you know, I was sitting at the beach and somebody came up to me. I mean, it's just all over the place.
And
in a group, I would say, like in a group of, let's say, 30 people, probably there are about, typically I might have 20 different mechanisms that go up on the board.
Which is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, I'll come back to you in a second. I went into to my dermatologist, and one guy said, well, I have to wait so long for my dermatologist. And another older man said, well, you know, the last time I was at a dermatologist, at a doctor's office, two people met here. They had to wait so long here, and they ended up married.
Oh, is that wonderful?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
so encouraging,
yeah.
You know, to really appreciate that and understand that, you know.
Yeah, so the range can be anywhere. It's not just cyber dating. It's not just video dating.
No.
It's not just sitting home waiting. I know you've underscored, because I took one of your courses, that you can't sit home and be passive, that you need to, you can't just expect.
No, I always make people think about the fact that if you think that you're going to sit in your house or your apartment and have somebody come ring your doorbell like, hello, you know, I'm here for you. I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
And so they'll either have that attitude or they'll bury themselves in work. You know, they'll either stay at their office a whole lot of time or stay in their apartment, not get out there. And I'm always pushing about the importance of getting out there.
Tell me a little about cyber dating.
It's very controversial, and I have to say that I know a lot of people, in fact, several. I just went to a lovely wedding of two psychologists who are friends of mine who met through cyber dating. It can be a wonderful, helpful, fruitful experience, and yes, it can also be disastrous.
Can you give us an example of disastrous?
Well, disastrous would be, for instance, of hooking up with somebody who is married. The reality is that there are people that do go online and they just lie about themselves. They're looking to have a quick affair or something like that. And so there definitely is the element of lying that goes on that you need to be watchful for.
So more like a cheap thrill. You have to watch out for those type of people. So people who could present well, but their pedigree there.
But there are techniques to minimize that kind of risk.
What would you recommend?
The first thing is I really encourage people to not jump into the actual, from the moment that they first make that connection to the actual potential first date. I encourage people to sort of drag that out a bit, to really do some degree of email communication over a period of, a few weeks or so, and then move from that to maybe phone calls, particularly if it's particularly helpful to keep the phone calls on a cell phone kind of thing so that you can't figure out where people live right away. But most people who are into a quickie affair will not have the tolerance for dragging it out like that.
Interesting. So you rule them out.
Yes.
You screen them out.
Yes. Another thing that happens with that is it's a wonderful way to get to know the person through their email communication, like how they express themselves, do they know how to spell, what kind of emotional person are they or not, so that by the time you get to the first date, you have a lot more information than if you just kind of jumped into getting there after, hooking up.
And should they put pictures on the web or not?
I do recommend that. I think that's something else that happens a lot of the time, is that people, I just encourage people to deal with the fact that's a fact of life, that people do care about appearances, and why not just get that out on the table so that it's not going to be that awkward moment when you walk into, a cafe or something and there's this, oh my goodness, this is not my type at all.
Right.
So it's definitely, I think it's really important to go ahead and do that. As uncomfortable as that might be for some people, you clearly, the statistics are you have a much greater chance of getting, quote, hits, as they call it, in the cyber world, on your profile, if in fact you have a posted picture. And it's really important to use a real picture. I mean, that's another thing that people do sometimes lie with. Sometimes they will post pictures that are 10 years old and that kind of thing. And,
they're thinner or they don't look as old.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you also mentioned that mostly men are on the internet. It's very that women
that's
are
the good
in
news.
Demand.
The good news is that all these women who complain all the times, or they go to singles dances, and the ratio might be, five women for every one male. But the good news is that cyber dating is a total reverse, that there's most of the statistics are, for most of the sites, that there's, I think it's 5-1 the other way. I think they're, so it's just
a lot of men are more computer savvy, and they get
They are more computer savvy. They like the shopping concept. They like the privacy of it. They like the price. There are all sorts of things that it sort of fits more with a male personality more easily.
So women really have their pick of the litter.
They do. And again, I think it's also the ratio is different because I think there are a lot of women that are they're scared.
Yeah.
And I think it's unfortunate because the ones that are, as I said, that do it appropriately, do it the right way, in a safe way, they often can reap a lot of rewards for it. There's a lot of good matches that happen through the various services.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Going on Dating, on
You're
Cyber
welcome.
Dating. Thank you, Dr. Don Kiefer, who's a clinical psychologist, and he's in the psychiatry department at Rhode Island Hospital.
You're welcome.
And wishing you a lot of wonderful dating, whether it's with your hubby or your wife or boyfriend and girlfriend or someone new. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness, and I look forward to being with you again next week.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
Everyone knows about the need for foreplay and intimacy, but afterplay is important too. Cuddling for a while and exchanging loving words are usually a treasured form of afterplay. If you roll over and go to sleep right away or leave abruptly, your partner may feel like a sex toy or object. If your partner enjoyed it, this teaches you what your partner likes and dislikes, so you'll know what to repeat and what not to repeat, and how to make the next experience more pleasurable. Be sympathetic and caring. Make it clear you want your partner to feel loved and fulfilled. If your partner makes a reasonable suggestion, promise to act on it in the future. Feedback is important because resentments about unfulfilled desires can lead to a downward trajectory in the relationship. Never be defensive or you will stop getting feedback.
Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com and at amazon.com.